See, here's the litmus test to be a servant. Are you ready? The truest test of a servant is how you respond when you're treated like one. You see, a lot of us want to be known as servants of the Most High God, but don't you treat me like one. Don't you pay me like one. Don't you just kind of walk over me like one. See, but that's the truest test of a servant. Mother Teresa taught me through one of her books. She said, you want to learn humility? You must be willing to be humiliated.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Yesterday, we began a message where we learned that some of the greatest acts of service are the ones no one even sees. Today, Pastor Wayne will dive deeper into Matthew chapter 6 as he shows us the beauty of hidden service, where people stop seeing us and start seeing Jesus through us. Here's Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, Tales of Hidden Service.
Let's read what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2. It'll come up on the board. Would you read it? Go. On the first day of the week, pause. When's the first day of the week? Today. Yeah. Continue. On the first day of the week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. What he's saying is, don't make God an afterthought. Plan on it. Intentionally dig out that outlet. Because if you don't, it ain't going to happen by chance. It has to be an intentional, without reservation, desire to bring some kind of an outlet for renewal. And then life returns again. Something we've got to do. And so we have that lesson that he talks to us about. Now, hidden giving. The lesson is, you cannot outgive God. Let me tell you a story. I've written 14 books, and one of the ones that I wrote seemed to really hit a nerve. It's called Leading on Empty, and it just went fast. And after about a year, I received a really nice, hefty royalty check from the publisher. And so I thought, woohoo, this is great, man. This is Christmas. And so it's on my way to the bank when the Lord just spoke to my heart. I don't know if you've had this, but it's like, I know, I know, I know. And the next word is, oh, shucks. Because I heard God say, I want you to give that whole thing in its entirety back. Just give it to the church. Sign the back of the check. Give it to the church. And I thought, no way. You know, we know a lot about God, but to be like him, it's like, is this really tough? No way. And so I kept driving because I figured, you know, that was just a moment in time as the jalapenos on the pizza I had the night before, something is reacting. So I kept going to the bank and the Lord said it again. I want you to give that whole thing to the church. I thought, oh man. And then I start bringing up excuses with God. God, you know, I need new tires. I need milk for my babies. Even though all my kids are grown up by then, you got to think of something, right? Maybe to convince God. And so I get almost to the bank and I actually stop in the parking lot and I thought, oh, crud. Okay. And so I turn around and go home. And as on the way home, it was like the Lord spoke to my heart and said, Wayne, if you only wrote the book, if the only reason you wrote the book was to make money for yourself, then your act of service wasn't really for me. It was for you, and you have your reward in full. You're done. I thought, oh, man. Okay, I got it. And so I gave the check, and a few months later, we were actually getting ready to move here from Hawaii. And so we were selling our house, and on a lark, I just put it up to twice its value, just because I really didn't want to sell it. And so I just threw it way up. And at the same time, there was a big tsunami in Japan. And it was a nuclear plant that went bad, and there's a big tsunami. It was just some bad things that took place. And I thought, I bet there's Japanese people that want to get out of Japan. They want to get out of Dodge. And so I just threw it up. And in 1 week, someone gave me a cash check for little more than two times what it was worth because they wanted to make sure they got it, cash on the barrel. And I looked at what that check was that I gave to the church and what God gave me from that. It was 30 times more. 30. And I think back and I thought, you know, the Lord said, if you will obey me, I will give you a fruitful bounty supply 30, 60, 100 fold. And it's like the Lord said, I'm giving you, this is my lowest interest rate. 30 fold. I thought, wow, I can't wait for the 60 and the 100. I learned a big lesson that you can't outgive God. You can't, but it's hidden. Just hidden service. Just do it. Just do it. Nobody need, no accolades, no trumpets. No, just do it. I didn't learn quite fast enough because it was only a couple weeks later. I was a part of a Rotary Club downtown. And so I was heading to the Rotary Club and this homeless guy was down by McDonald's. And he said, hey, brother, you got any loose change, any spare change? And I had a couple bucks, but I said, oh, no, because I knew he was going to, you know, use it for beer or drugs or something. So I said, no, not this time. So I'm walking by, and again, God speaks to me. And he says, give him a couple of bucks, you stingy bugger. And I thought, what? Give him a couple of bucks. And now I'm arguing with God again. He's just going to use it for beer or drugs or something. Forget it. He said, well, if you're concerned about that, go buy him a McDonald's hamburger and, you know, some coffee or something. I said, no way. That's like $5.75 for that. So he said, it's not about the drugs and stuff, is it? It's because you're stingy. And boy, almost he had to renew that lesson that I own the cattle on 1,000 hills, Wayne, and I can take care of you if you'll just start obeying me. In the small things, hidden giving. Nobody needs to know. Just do it. Just do it. I learned a lot from that. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talks about the tales of hidden service. And the second tale that he talks about is exactly that, hidden service. Hidden service. This is especially important for those, anyone in leadership, CEOs, company owners, business people, etc. Because we often see service done by people out there just basically for ceremony or publicity. They'll put on an apron at a soup kitchen, cameras come out, click, click. Once the photos are done, off comes the apron. It's a photo op. But for leaders, I would say to you, men and women of influence, it's important for us to serve and put on an apron. It's just good for our souls to pick up paper on the way to church. When the bathroom counter, you go and use the bathroom and it's wet, take a couple of extra paper towels and wipe it down. Open the door for a person that's coming in after you. Instead of just letting it slam in the, on their nose, just hold it open. Help someone down the stairs that's elderly. Do something because it's done in a beautiful way. It's a small thing. Some people say, well, I can't sing or dance like them, or I can't give, you know, 100,000, 200,000, so I won't really give anything. It's like, no, do what you can. What do you have? Start there, because really that's what the gospel's all about. Let me share this with you. There's a lady that didn't have much in the scriptures in the New Testament. Jesus is about to die, and she had a alabaster vial of perfume. I don't know if it was Dior or Fabergé or I don't know, baby Aveeno. And so she takes this, breaks the alabaster vial and anoints Jesus. Now the disciples were grumbling and complaining, cursing the dark. They were saying, what is she doing? We could have sold this thing and given it to the poor. And the Lord said, you don't want to give it to the poor. You're greedy, just like me at McDonald's. The Lord said, you're just like Wayne. You're not concerned about that homeless guy. You're just greedy. You're not concerned that they're going to buy drugs. You're just greedy. Your excuses fall flat. So the disciples were grumbling. And the Lord says something really important. And he turns to them and like with not beating around the bush, he just says, you leave her alone. That's what he said. You leave her alone. Don't you dare bother this woman. And we're going to read about it. That's exactly what he said. Let's read it together. Good. Go. She has done a beautiful thing to me. She has done what she could. Truly, I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. God said, she did a beautiful thing. She's done what she could. Well, I can't dance and sing. You can do what you can. What can you do? You can smile. You can hold the door open. You can pick up a piece of paper. You can scoot over on a seat to let someone sit down. You can help with a baby. She's done what she could. How often we live under the myth of, because I can't do a lot, I won't do anything. It's like, no. She has done what she could, and it's a beautiful thing. In fact, that's what the gospel is all about. So wherever the gospel is preached, I'm going to mention this. Because if everyone is doing what we can, something will take place. It will be something beautiful. Listen to what Mother Teresa says about that. She says, what we do is but a drop in the ocean. But without that drop, the ocean would be less. We may not be able to do big things for God, so we do small things with great love. That's what makes what we do something beautiful for God. And that comes out of a book by the same title, Something Beautiful for God. And I looked at that and I thought, that's so true. If we all would do what we can, she has done what she could. What can you do? What can you do? You can smile, you can be kind, you can give a cordial word, you can let someone know that they're valuable. Just something. What can you do? See, a lot of times it's not what we can't do that makes us go bad. It's what we can do and we don't. And so the Lord says, this is the gospel. Wherever the gospel is preached, if all of us did what we could do, do you understand the culture of this place would be stupendous? It'd be amazing. So don't withhold, because it's rich, but we will shrink and die if we don't give an outlet to it. So let life start to teem again. And here's something about serving, hidden service. You know, the disciples were gathered around Jesus, and they were noticing waiters, busboys, etc. And they started arguing about who is like the best disciple. You know, my brother and I would always dispute about that, who was the better kid in our family. I always won. But here it is. The disciples were just like that. Listen, and there was a dispute that arose among them as to which of them was the greatest. And Jesus said to them, the one who is greatest among you, you got to be like the youngest. The leader has to be the servant. In some translations, it says, the greatest among you is the one who serves. And I thought, wait a minute, why are you saying to be a servant, you got to be great? Because the great people are celebrities. They're on their 19th marriage, but they make big buku's bucks and all of these things. And they're the greatest, right? No, the greatest among you is servants. I thought, why? You see, in the kingdom, which is opposite of the world, in the kingdom, if you're going to be a servant, you have to be great in patience. You have to be great in dependability. You have to be great in honesty. You have to be great in people skills. You have to be great in forgiveness. You have to be great in reconciliation. You have to be great in work ethic. You see, the qualifying test in order to become a servant is, are you great in those areas? Great in virtue. Great in love. Great in your heart. See, here's the litmus test to be a servant. Are you ready? The truest test of a servant is how you respond when you're treated like one. When someone says, hey, not there, over here. Hey, come on, what's going on here? Change that. And how do I respond? You see, a lot of us want to be known as servants of the Most High God, but don't you treat me like one. Don't you pay me like one. Don't you just kind of walk over me like one. See, but that's the truest test of a servant. Mother Teresa taught me through one of her books. She said, you want to learn humility? You must be willing to be humiliated. I thought, no way. I'll be humble, but don't you humiliate me. Then you will never understand humility. Humility is you're able to respond well even when humiliated. I thought, wow, now I know why Jesus said only the greatest can be servants. The greatest among you shall be servants of all. That's the highest calling in the kingdom of God, by the way. Because even Jesus says he is a servant of the Most High God. Pretty nuts. So then I continued reading and it said something really interesting. He then pushes back on his disciples and says, who's the greatest among you if you really want? I mean, take a look at the head table. All right, now you see the bus boys. Which one's the greater in the eyes of the world? Well, it says this. Who is greater, the one who's at the table or the one who serves? In the eyes of the world anyway, is it not the one who's at the head table? But I am among you as one who serves. I need you to listen real carefully. Jesus said, if you want to find me, I'll be among those who whom? To what? What are they doing? They're serving. You see, in a church like this, as beautiful as our lights are, by the way, I'm thankful for Daniel, our lighting guy, and our sound people, and our phenomenal musicians, and all of these people that do such a great job. But when people come to our church, I don't want them to see just the lights and the vocals and all of that stuff. Because if that's all they see, they'll leave here well entertained. When they come here, nothing wrong with this stuff, but when they come, they need to see, not us, they need to see Jesus. They need to, can you say amen to that? Because if they don't see Jesus, it's all man-made stuff. Now, you can see Jesus through the lighting, how it focuses on one and focuses on another. It helps us as a congregation to focus. That really is something that serves us. Wonderful. The vocals and the sound, everything, the screens, it helps us to focus and get the communication better. We got it. I got it. Thank you. But through all of this, they need to see Jesus, not us. We need to make Jesus famous, not us. Now, if Jesus says, I will be among those who serve, what if most of us just came to watch? We didn't serve very much. We didn't do anything. We didn't smile. We didn't hold the door open. I mean, I'm not talking about a formal position. Just serve. Just serve. All of us can do that. But what if we just kind of sit in the grandstands? When people come, and if there's only a few really servants, then guess what? When they come, they'd be hard-pressed to see Jesus at all. On the other hand, if we all have a heart of serving, all of us, when people come to this church, they will see Jesus everywhere. Someone helping over here, someone praying with someone over here, someone cleaning up a table here, throwing away trash. And it's like, whoa, everybody's engaged here. Yeah, absolutely. And then you know what? They don't see you. They see Jesus. They don't see someone cleaning up a street with beer cans. They see Jesus at work. I saw Jesus that day. A friend of mine, Keith Miller, tells a story about that. He's since passed away, but he's written a book in the 60s called A Taste of New Wine that influenced me a lot. He tells a story of he was unemployed for a while, and then he got a job in town. But to get to town, he had to take his car to the subway station, park his car in a public parking, and then take the subway in. Well, every day his wife would pack him a lunch. So he'd come down and grab the lunch, and then they would pray. And his prayer was pretty consistent. Lord, help me to shine Jesus to somebody today. Well, this went on for about 2 months. He was under probation for 3 months with his job. But one day he just was late, just got caught up in some things. And so he came running down the stairs. Honey, I gotta go, I gotta go. I'll miss the subway. She quickly grabbed his lunch, handed it to him on the fly. As he was going out the door, she said, honey, we haven't prayed yet. Oh, yeah, that's right. He ran back in. Jesus, help me to shine you to somebody today. Amen. And he bolted out the door, got in his car, went down to the subway station. And the scene there told him that he was really indeed late, because all of the people from the subway were piling out onto the station, and he had to kind of go through a contraflow upstream to try and get to the subway. So he's bumping into people. I got to get to that subway. Excuse me, excuse me. And he turns the corner smack dab into a little kid about, third grade, that had papers in his hands and his lunch pail split open. His lunch went onto the ground. People trampled on it. Picked the kid up and said, "Sorry, kid, I got to get to work," and took off. When his foot hit the first rung of that subway train, he heard God speak to him. Shucks. God said, "You go back and take care of that little boy." He said, "Lord, I really got to get to work. I could get fired. I'm still under probation." "You get back. Go." And God just kept that on his heart. He said, "I couldn't take the next step." So he said, "I withdrew my foot and made my way back through the crowd. There I found that little boy. Tears are streaming down his face, and I started picking up papers. 'Excuse me, sir, could I get that paper from under your feet?' 'Ma'am, excuse me.' Collected them all, stacked them neatly together, put it in the boy's arm, opened his lunch pail, and took his lunch out and started putting it in his. And he said to that little boy, 'You're going to have a good lunch today.' Closed it, wiped the tears out of that little off that little boy's face. Then he gave him a big hug, and he said, 'Don't ever forget how much God loves you.' And then he started towards the subway to catch the next train. When he was about maybe 15 feet away, the little boy turned around and he said, 'Excuse me, sir.' And Keith said, 'I stopped and turned around.' I said, 'Yes.' The little boy with his little finger pointed at me and said, 'Are you Jesus?' And Keith said, "You know, for that moment and to that boy, I think I was." People don't need to see us. They need to see Jesus through us. Do what you can. Start there. Hidden giving, hidden service, and watch what God can do, not only in this church, as he breaks out an outlet to bring fresh life again, not only in the church, but through the church. And that's what God will call something beautiful for God. That's what the gospel is all about. Can you say amen to that? Amen.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Tales of Hidden Service by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. We trust it has been an encouragement to you today. And we leave you now with an old song from the Maranatha Singers, sung country style. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be the servant of all. Until next time, howdy and aloha.
Like life is running you over? It's time to take control with Powerful Attitudes for a Successful Life by Wayne Cordero. This insightful book reveals the keys to abundant living found throughout the Bible, helping you avoid common mistakes and see life through God's eyes. With humor and wisdom, Pastor Wayne shows you how to think differently and live successfully. Order Powerful Attitudes for a Successful Life now, only $5 at lifesources.cc. Lifesources.cc. A successful life is within your reach. Start today.